So, greetings, friends. Today's talk is on the Asatava Sutta, a sutta on dependent origination and the five clinging aggregates. The link in this Monday's email did not link to the article on the website, but it's listed under dependent origination. I failed to update the link from the previous week's link. Let me read the from the sutta, and I'll comment as I go along. The important thing, a significant thing in this sutta, is how the Buddha points out the difficulty with self-identifying with thinking rooted in ignorance, and how that's much more difficult to recognize and abandon than self-identification with the physical form. The Buddha was at Savatthi in Jiva's Grove, Anathapindika's monastery. There he addressed the assembled nuns and monks. An uninstructed ordinary person might grow disenchanted with their body, composed of the four great elements. They might grow dispassionate toward their body and gain release from clinging to it. How does this occur? Due to aging and decline, the impermanence of their body, composed of the four great elements, becomes apparent. In this way, the uninstructed ordinary person might grow disenchanted with their body and gain release from clinging to physical form. The Buddha is stating that it's just the impermanence of the body is simply much more apparent. And as we develop an understanding of the overall Dhamma, when we recognize impermanence and the foolishness of attaching to anything impermanent or creating an identity to any impermanent object, once that's recognized, you simply abandon it. The Buddha continues, but what is often called mind, intellect, or consciousness, the uninstructed ordinary person is unable to develop disenchantment or develop dispassion towards thinking rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths and gain release from it. How does this occur? Once ignorance arises in the mind, intellect or consciousness is relished, revered, grasped after, and clung to by the uninstructed ordinary person. They see this mind rooted in ignorance as this is me, this is myself, this is what I am. From this self-referential view, it is impossible to grow disenchanted or dispassionate towards the mind or to gain release from clinging to it. And that really is the practical problem. Once ignorance of Four Noble Truths arises in the mind, we create assumptions or mental fabrications about ourselves in relation to the world around us. And once those are formed and we create strategies to maintain that ignorance by clinging to this to these objects, events, views, and ideas that we've created from ignorance, it's nearly impossible to even recognize that process. The underlying problem of ignorance is that a mind rooted in ignorance will continue to ignore anything that challenges that ignorance. And that's exactly why the Buddha created an Eightfold Path to recognize and abandon clinging to ignorant views and clinging to one thought after another thought. A mind rooted in ignorance, the Buddha described that as anatta, meaning that the views that are used to create a self don't accurately define a self. Let go of those views. Anatta seeks to establish itself in every thought, event, view, idea, object that occurs. And in doing so, it creates constant distraction from what would be recognized through mindfulness as occurring moment by moment. Let me read my comment. A mind rooted in ignorance is conditioned to ignore anything that would challenge this initial ignorance. This is why all attempts to adapt or accommodate the Buddha's original teachings to fit individual or culturally influenced views invariably results in a Buddhist practice that contradicts or ignores completely the Buddha's direct teachings, resulting in a modern thicket of views. And there's an article on the website called Modern Buddhism, a Thicket of Views, and it goes into this in much more detail than I will right now. But much of modern Buddhism has been adapted and accommodated to fit fuse that would continue to establish this self, which completely contradicts the Buddhist teaching. And there's a lot more in that in my new book, Becoming Buddha. When you trace the histories through the Buddhist councils, you can see the attempts by the different groups that wanted to adapt the Buddhist teachings are precisely to establish a self in different realms, whether it's physical realms or non-physical realms, and those strategies continue today. Beginning with the abrogation of dependent origination, to go from a simple doctrine that teaches from ignorance of Four Noble Truths through 12 observable causative links, all manner of suffering arises, to completely dismissing dependent origination to create a doctrine of interdependence or interconnectedness or interbeing. And those are all strategies to continue eye-making that contradict the Buddha's original teachings. The Buddha continues, it would be more skillful for the uninstructed ordinary person to cling to their body more, so then the mind as the self. Why is this? Because the body composed of the four elements can more easily be seen as impermanent and prone to decay. What is identified as mind or intellect or consciousness is seen as one thing that continues to attach to another thing, meaning constantly changing self-referential views resulted in confused views such as interdependence, interconnectedness, and interbeing. Just as a monkey swinging through the forest grabs one branch after another, in the same way what is seen as mind, intellect, or consciousness constantly grasps after one thing or another. And it's amazing many people describe their mind 2,600 years later after the Buddha used the term a monkey swinging from one branch to another, as they have monkey mind, a mind that they have no control over and just keeps churning out thought after thought after thought, all rooted in ignorance. The Buddha continues, the well-instructed disciple of the Dhamma attends mindfully and appropriately to dependent origination. The Buddhist begins this by saying, describing dependent origination as when this is, that is. And a lot of modern Buddhism stops right there and uses this to create a doctrine of conditionality that is just more distracting and a very good strategy to continue eye-making. That's not what the Buddha is referring specifically to dependent origination as he taught it in the Paticca-samuppada Sutta and many other suttas too. When this is, that is, from the arising of this comes the arising of that. When this isn't, that isn't. From the cessation of this comes the cessation of that. That's referring directly to dependent origination. In other words, from ignorance as a requisite condition comes fabrications, meaning from when ignorance is, then fabrications arise. When this is, that is. It's very specific to that. From fabrications as a requisite condition comes consciousness. And this is, those of you that listen to this know that it seems like every time I do a new Wednesday talk, my dog has to have a drink. So maybe I'll get smart and move his bowl next week. But anyway, there he goes. The consciousness that the Buddha is referring to here is not some grand cosmic consciousness or some interconnected singular mind. It's simply consciousness rooted in that first factor of dependent origination, consciousness rooted in ignorance. In other words, it's conditioned thinking. From that consciousness as a requisite condition comes name and form. Name and form simply is identification, giving your name to your form. From name and form as a requisite condition comes the sixth sense base, our five physical senses, and that sixth sense of our consciousness rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. From the sixth sense base as a requisite condition comes contact. From contact as a requisite condition comes feeling. From feeling as a requisite condition comes craving. From craving as a requisite condition comes clinging and maintaining. From clinging and maintaining as a requisite condition comes becoming. The title of the book refers to this, Becoming Buddha, Becoming Awakened. The talks from our just completed retreat this past weekend has a very informative talk. I believe it's a second talk, also up on the website under Retreat Talks. And that's a very important idea to understand. What are we becoming? If it's rooted in ignorance, we can only become more ignorant. And the Buddha continues in his description. From becoming as a requisite condition comes birth. From birth as a requisite condition comes sickness, aging, death, sorrow, regret, pain, distress, and despair. Such is the origination of the entire mass of confusion, deluded thinking, and suffering. Now, from the complete cessation of ignorance of Four Noble Truths comes the cessation of fabrication. This means when this isn't, when ignorance is no longer, then fabrications are no longer. When this isn't, that isn't. From the cessation of fabrications comes the cessation of consciousness. From the cessation of consciousness comes the cessation of name and form. From the cessation of name and form comes the cessation of the sixth sense base. From the cessation of the sixth sense base comes the cessation of contact. From the cessation of contact comes the cessation of feeling. From the cessation of feeling comes the cessation of craving. From the cessation of craving comes the cessation of clinging and maintaining. From the cessation of clinging and maintaining comes the cessation of becoming. And from the cessation of becoming comes the cessation of birth. From the cessation of birth comes the cessation of sickness, aging, and death, sorrow, regret, pain, distress, and despair. From the cessation of birth comes the cessation of the entire mass of confusion, deluded thinking, and suffering. So this progression from ignorance to suffering and from suffering back to the cessation of ignorance, when continued eye-making is the underlying deluded thinking, then dependent origination comes as a type of creation myth to establish the self in all these different realms. And then the cessation of suffering through the reversal of dependent origination rooted in ignorance is often seen as annihilation, and it's taught that way. And in fact, there's even some schools that teach that upon awakening, you just kind of vanish. And of course, that contradicts the Buddha's own awakening. He lived for 45 more years teaching the Dhamma. What the Buddha's teaching is not creation. It's not even a future birth. It's what we're giving birth to in each moment. And so if our minds are rooted in ignorance, we can only give birth in the next moment to another experience rooted in ignorance. As we undo these causative links of dependent origination, we're not creating our own annihilation. We're simply bringing to cessation the ongoing experience of a life rooted in ignorance. The Buddha continues, understanding this clearly and within the proper context of the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Paths, the well-instructed disciple of the Dhamma grows disenchanted with form, disenchanted with feelings, disenchanted with perception, disenchanted with fabrications, disenchanted with consciousness. Meaning, we're no longer enamored with what we've established in the world. We realize that it's the cause of our own confusion, deluded thinking, and suffering. Disenchanted, they become dispassionate. Through dispassion, they are fully released from the five clinging aggregates. With complete release, they know they are fully released. That's the essence of an awakened mind. You know that you're awakened. And it's a very clear understanding. With complete release, they know they are fully released. They know that giving birth to additional views rooted in ignorance has ended. They know that a life well integrated with the Eightfold Path has been fulfilled. And excuse me. And that the task is done. They know the clinging to the world has ended. That's the end of the sutta. So in a very clear and direct way, the Buddha teaches in this sutta and in understanding the Paticca-Samuppada Sutta and the many suttas that the Buddha teaches dependent origination, that recognizing that a mind rooted in ignorance is always prone to confusion, deluded thinking, and ongoing disappointing experiences, in a word, dukkha. But as one develops and integrates the Eightfold Path as a framework for their life, we're able to recognize and abandon every aspect of that ignorance. And as it's recognized, we can simply abandon it. This is the problem that has developed since the Buddha's time and even during the Buddha's time, to start adapting and accommodating and substituting other teachings for the simple and direct teachings of the Eightfold Path. The Buddha taught that only one path, the Eightfold Path, so that we could recognize and abandon ignorance in all of its forms, to recognize and abandon conditioned thinking. This is the only path the Buddha taught, It's rooted in a meditation practice that is used for developing concentration and for no other purpose, and then by integrating the other seven factors of the Eightfold Path, we can recognize and abandon ignorance, and so undo the links of dependent origination, and to truly see that when ignorance is no longer, suffering is no longer. So that's today's talk. I hope that you can join me next week. If you find benefit from this talk, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace.